Good morning, everyone. Let me just say before I begin that it's entirely possible that you could hear banging noises in the background or even shouting. That's these amazing people who are working hard to give us a new roof here. So unless it gets very bad, I'm just going to keep going. But that's what it is if you hear something. Today is the first day of the season of stewardship. This is a time that we set aside each year as a parish family to say our prayers, to remember God's goodness and blessings for us, each of us, in our very own lives, and to discover in that I have a desire to say, thank you, God, and to express that in this case by offering a pledge to our church for our ministry in the coming year to make our future possible. I think it's really important to pray about this. My own prayers often include fears and worries and cares right alongside all my best hopes and desires. In my own prayer, I seem to need to unwind myself from myself and to find a place where I can be still finally, and discover that I am side by side with God and see that God's fingerprints are all over our lives in blessing, even if we don't exactly remember God putting them there. A few weeks ago, I was sitting outside the church, and after unwinding myself from myself enough with God, I began to remember all of these gifts and all of these blessings given. And then something more occurred to me. I suddenly realized that God was there in the gift. I thought, oh, it was you, Lord. You were there. And I didn't even know it. Not an idea of you or thoughts about you, but you. Two things in particular were remembered for me that day. First, as you know, way back at the end of March, seems decades ago, 35 women came to stay here at the church through the Caritas program. One day, months later, and after we had all been away from the church working at home, finally making our way back here, I found a handwritten note from one of these women that had been stuck up on one of our bulletin boards. After all these months, I'd never seen it, and here it is. The woman who wrote it wrote a prayer of thanksgiving and a prayer for the hands which were preparing meals for her each day and for everyone else. And when I saw this note stuck up on the bulletin board, when I saw it, it was God reminding me that God is with us, even if we don't always know it. And a second thing remembered, it was from a few days after we had our goodbye drive-through for our dear brother Hussein. I was outside and I found a balloon left from the celebration. It had sort of lost its helium lift and had drifted away, and I found it stuck in a bush. It wasn't a red balloon, like fire, but the effect was the same, seeing that colorful balloon in that bush. It was like Moses, when Moses saw a burning bush and heard God calling him by name. God was in that place, beside us, even if we didn't quite know it at the time. This week, you should receive something in the mail that looks like this. It's a stewardship package from us. This past Friday, Patsy Simrell and Wayne Dementi and Robin Lind and Jill Avison and Christy Gerken sat around tables with masks on at these tables set far enough apart from one another in these awkward ways that we are doing these days, and stuffed stewardship packets for you. And what you'll find in yours, let me take it out, is this amazing brochure, almost poster, that Ashley Cameron has created. It tells the story in pictures of who we are right now and how, in all of these odd, sort of awkward ways, the Spirit keeps leading us forward to be the Church of Jesus. And at the top of the brochure is this picture, right here. I love this picture and the way it tells part of our story right now. In a way, I guess you could say it's just a picture of an empty church. And I guess that's true as far as it goes. But I don't really see it that way. To me, this picture speaks about the openness of the future that God will lead us toward. When? I don't know. What will it be like? I don't know. I think we all have questions just like these right now in every area of our lives, and we are impatient to get them answered. We are tired of waiting. It'd be nice if we could go back to making plans and organizing ourselves and putting something into our calendars that would stay put. That'd be nice. But that's just not where we are right now. Which actually leaves us in a good position to come beside Moses and Yahweh, the Lord, in this morning's reading from the book of Exodus. I love how the Bible gives us God, and gives us God on God's terms. This is not God of the philosophers, the prime mover, the first cause, the God without feeling or affection, unchanged and unchanging, unmoved and immovable, unaffected by the joys and sorrows of our lives. It is not the God turned into an idea like all of those omnis, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, all the rest. Those are ideas about God. We don't need ideas about God. We need God. The God of the Bible hears and listens and responds and speaks and declares and changes. This is the God who takes both the freedom that God has given us as a gift and our own failures and sinfulness into account and then reimagines a future with us. This conversation between God and Moses comes after what Moses thought was a catastrophe that could not be overcome. A breach had opened up between God and God's people. Here's what happened. Earlier, Moses and God are in conversation together on Mount Sinai, sealing the betrothal of God to God's people, the children of Israel, with the giving of the Ten Commandments. The children of Israel are at the bottom of the mountain waiting. And they waited and waited. And still Moses did not come down. And they got restless and impatient and fearful and angry. It was taking too long. And they got tired of waiting. So they decided to take matters into their own hands, create their own solution, their own plan for who they were and their future. And so they made a golden calf to pay homage to and worship instead of the God on top of Sinai, the one who had kept them waiting. Well, God sees this and decides it is over between us. Actually, what he says is worse than that. But Moses talks God down from his anger by reminding God, "You're God. You can't do that." And so not long after, Moses and God talk some more. Moses is wrestling with God about his own fears and cares and worries, his own desires and hopes. He wants to know if God is going to stay with them as they move forward. "I will go with you," the Lord says to Moses. But Moses presses him, "No, not just me, with all of us. These are your people. Will you go with us?" "Yes," the Lord says, "I will go with you all." And then Moses says, expressing the desire of his heart, "Lord, let me see you." And the Lord says, "You cannot see me face to face. But I will hide you in a crag of the rocks, and as I pass by, I will place my hand over you to shield you till I have passed by. You will see me after I have passed by. You will see my fingerprints all over your life, and you will know that it was me with you." We set this time apart, this season of stewardship, to say our prayers, to have our conversation with God about our worries and our cares and our hopes and our best desires, like Moses, to see God's blessings, God's fingerprints all over our lives, even if we don't quite remember God putting them there at the time. "I will go with you," says the Lord. "No, you cannot see me face to face. But you will see me when I have passed by you. You will see that I was with you. You will see that it was me with you all along." Amen.